The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to the court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the gospel of the Lord. So there is a parenting method that's called love and logic. How many of you have heard of love and logic? A few of you have? Okay. The basic premise is that if we empower children to make good choices, and when we give them the room to make these choices when they're young, when the consequences of their choices might not be as severe, they will learn from the natural consequences of their choices, either the good choices or the not so good choices, and be better equipped as adults to make good choices when the stakes are higher. It's also a little subversive, which is, I think, why I like it, because it actually kind of sometimes works on husbands, too. And it's usually about the fourth time when Eric will finally say, "Is that love and logic?" No. So part of why I like it is because you are guiding as you are giving choices. For example, you might say to your child who needs to take a shower, "Would you like to," and my son's listening to this, he knows, "would you like to take a shower before or after dinner?" So you're not telling necessarily, "Go take a shower," but you're giving them a choice. You're not saying, "Do you want to take a shower?" which they might say no, but you're saying now or later. Well, there was one day where I guess I was probably using this love and logic method to the point of exhaustion when my young son, I gave him a typical love and logic type of choice, and his response to me was, "Mom, my chooser has made too many choices. Just tell me what to do." Well, I think that Moses was steeped in love and logic when he was talking to his people, to God's people, on Mount Sinai. He asks the people of God, which would you rather choose? Life and prosperity or death and adversity? Life and blessings or death and curses? I mean, like, do we even need to think about that? Life and blessings, death and curses. The Israelites were standing before the Jordan River. They had been wandering for 40 years in the desert. They were just about ready to cross over into the promised land. And Moses, he was old, he knew he was going to die soon, and he talks to them about the joys and the struggles of being God's people. He reminds them of God's blessings upon them and commends them to always choose life. Why? Why does he remind them? Because he knows that choosing life means obeying God. And he knows how easy it is for us to forget. God's people had been given the Ten Commandments to guide their lives together. And we all know kind of how that worked. Not always very well. We also have this guide of the Ten Commandments to guide our lives, to guide us into right relationship with God and with each other. And that doesn't always work so well for us either. Central to these commandments is the commandment to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Why? Why? Because we can't forget either. God wants us to celebrate and rest and remember and reflect upon God's blessings. It's time that we set aside, whether that's Sunday morning or even a Sabbath time in the midst of any day, a time we set aside to be very intentional about our relationship with God. Moses reminds us to choose life, to keep it sacred and holy, to be intentional, because being obedient is not just about following the rules. It has everything to do with our choices, our will, our hearts, and our minds. Obedience to the will of God means aligning our hearts and our minds to the will of God, to that very heart and mind of God. To love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. To love God so completely that we are intentional to choose God's ways. To walk in the ways of justice, the ways of mercy, the ways of righteousness, the ways of peace. Moses reminds us we have a choice to walk in God's ways or to turn our hearts away from God. And we know that if we turn our hearts away from God, there are natural consequences. Choose God and receive life. Turn away from God and choose death. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really care for those sorts of statements. Choose God and you get life. Turn away from God and you get death. But in them is truth. And we know this from our own lives. I mean, that's why Jesus spent so much time teaching about how we relate to one another. If we don't follow the commandments of God, there's often much pain in our lives. When our primary relationships are broken by conflict, when anger distorts our thinking and our behavior, when people don't treat one another with kindness and respect, when people use words as weapons, sad and often tragic natural consequences happen because of our choices. When we make poor choices, people get hurt. We hurt. It's like a part of us dies. Now, I don't think we can necessarily connect those consequences with God's judgment, because I think that's different. There are often simply natural consequences from our choices. We know that God desires life, that God desires blessings for all of God's children. Choosing life is a lifelong process. It's often learned in the midst of struggle and as a result of our mistakes. We are the light of the world, and the world wouldn't need light if there wasn't darkness. We are the salt of the earth, and the earth wouldn't need salt if it hadn't become bland. God gives us the gift of life and blesses us. And this gift includes the blessing for all people. Do we turn away from God, or do we embrace one another as a blessing? It's very good news that God remains faithful even when we are not. Despite our poor choices, God is always with us. Despite our turning away, God turns God's face towards us, offering us blessings, offering us a way out, shining on us with forgiveness and love and grace. This morning we are reminded by Paul that we are God's servants, working together. We are God's field, God's building. We are very selves, are places where God grows and dwells and blesses. All of what we have, all of who we are, all of life is a blessing from God. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy, or that we're not going to struggle with figuring out what that means. But it does mean that we are blessed to share the gift of life and all the fullness of God's love with all of God's children everywhere. These blessings are experienced as we choose God, as we choose to live with intentional lives of mercy and justice and love and peace and forgiveness. So today is set before us: life and death, blessings and curses. Which will you choose? I'd like to close with a quote from Madeline L'Engle. She writes, "We draw people to Christ, not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." Choose life. Amen.